Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the prophet Micah, the 6th chapter of that book. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. You all did really well. Thank you. You're hired. And some of you are smiling like, he didn't ask me. Oh boy. But you'll be asked next time. Yeah, Farah. There you go. Thank you very much for doing that. Sometimes we need to hear a different voice. Brenda, you did a great job. I do a great job too, or at least I try to. But we're microphoned. And they all were not microphones. That was great. We may do that again someday. Just out of the blue. Even without the Beatitudes. But I'm not going to preach on the Beatitudes. Go home and read the Sermon on the Mount if you want. Chapters 5, 6, and 7. Longest sermon we have in the Bible. It's preached by Jesus. Okay? 5, 6, and 7. But we'll be in that for the next couple weeks, actually, as our gospel reading. I read Micah this week on Tuesday morning as I prepare every Tuesday morning of the week. And I just thought, I can't help but preach on Micah. I absolutely love Micah the prophet. I love the minor prophets. I mean, there's Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and that, the major prophets. But the minor prophets, Amos, Hosea, Micah, Malachi, all of those little guys, I love them dearly. And Micah is unbelievable. It's a timeless question, age old. But this is the question for today. You can give me your answer at coffee hour, because there is coffee hour today. And even the sun came out. Did you see that? Forget all these people that didn't come in the snow and the blow and the 18 below zero. The sun came out for all of us who came to church. Yay. It may not be there when we go out of church, but yay, it was there. The question is simply this. What is God's will? I could say amen. We could go to coffee hour and you'd have to preach a sermon to me. What is God's will? After all, you pray it every week in this place. And some of you pray it every night or every morning in your own prayers. See if these words don't sound familiar. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where have you heard that before? Lord's Prayer, by the way, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the question simply is, what is God's will? What does God want? What does God want from us, specifically? What does God want us to do? Okay? And I think that's why the lectionary creators put Micah together with Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Some people think that the Beatitudes are something we have to do. No, it's something that you are. And you're not all of them, all nine of them. You're hopefully even just one of them, or maybe two at the most. It's not what you do in the Beatitudes, but it's who you are. Go back and read them again, but not right now. What does God want? In the 8th century BCE, okay, 700 years before Christ, the prophet Micah asked the exact same question. What does the Lord require of you? And in 5 verses, the prophet Micah describes the experience of a long-suffering God who remains faithful to an unfaithful people for whom the prophet makes intercession. God is the faithful one. We, like Adam and Eve and all the other Hebrew slaves, are unfaithful. Think of the base of Mount Sinai, where they melted all their rings and nose rings and earrings and jewelry, toe rings, ankle bracelets into a golden calf. In 5 verses, Micah reminds us of how faithful God is and how unfaithful we are. Verse 4, the recounting of the Exodus. Don't you remember the Exodus? For God says, I brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. You don't have to build pyramids or sphinxes anymore. I set before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. We never hear women's names in the Bible, right? Unless they're, on that side of the tracks. Miriam and Moses and Aaron. Don't you remember? And I think I read one theologian said that's the most important word for the whole of the Old Testament reading. Don't you remember? They didn't. They didn't remember that. Even though they celebrate every year Passover, the passing over of the angel of death, the 10th plague in Egypt before they were released that night from slavery, they don't remember. Verse 5, King Balak and Balaam, that encounter. Go home and read Numbers 22 through 24. 22, 23, 24. You get the whole story. Balaam comes to King Balak on the eve before the people go into the promised land and says, no, you won't stop them. This is a gift from God to them. The promised land of milk and honey, Israel. And so there was a promise of a great blessing on the eve before they entered the land of Canaan, which would then become Israel, those who wrestle with God. Don't you remember? And they don't. They don't. 700 years before Christ, Israel was in the middle of a revival. The temple was crowded. They had 100 more people this morning than we do right now in the temple. Giving was over budget for the first time in years. They were out of the red. They were in the black. It was great. But Micah the prophet knew that something was wrong. Israel was arrogant and uncaring. One theologian says it this way, and he says it better than I can, so I'm going to quote him. The prophet Micah pictured God charging Israel with a crime and taking them to court before the mountains, the hills, and the foundations of the earth. God calls the mountains, the hills, and the foundations of the earth as witnesses for the prosecution. God's accusation is that they are selfish people. Sound familiar? Egocentric, all that kind of thing? They have forgotten God's generosity. God loved Israel, brought them out of slavery, gave them a home, a promised land. God speaks in pleading tones as a parent to a child who ignores the parent's love. Oh, there's a reason I've never been a parent, okay? It's like my parents, it was the parents' way or the highway. My mom used to always say to my sister and I, the door's always locked from the outside. You can leave anytime you want. Not locked from the inside, but, you know, you may not get back in. And she was right. We were forgetful of all that we were given by Mom and Dad Beek and Grandma and Grandpa Beek and Grandma and Grandpa Sowers. We forgot to remember the love and the care and the grace given. After hearing the accusation, the people, as usual, missed the point. Read those 8 verses again. They're marvelous from Micah chapter 6. After hearing the accusation in the court, before the mountains, the hills, and the foundations of the earth, the people miss it. They say, God, what more can we do? What more could you possibly want from us? Do you want more sacrifices? More expensive livestock? We had a discussion in Sunday school now, all of you agribusiness people. Veal. Explain to me veal at coffee hour. Because I thought it was always calves 2 years old or younger who had that nice tender veal meat. And I was in an argument with one of our members. I said, I'm neither right, you're neither right, we're neither wrong. Because I don't know about my veal. I just know I like to eat it. But that's what they're saying. You want more expensive livestock? Calves that are under a year old? Whether they've had only milk and no grain or grass or whatever it might be. How about thousands of rams? If one sheep is good, how about 1,000 rams? Or 10,000 of rivers of oil? And you read that well, too. I kept stumbling on that all week long. 10,000 of rivers of oil? And somebody said, just goes, well, it depends what kind of oil it is. I said, it wasn't crude, it wasn't dinosaur stuff, it was olive oil that you cook with, extra virgin olive oil. That's how they preserved all of their wine. They put a layer of olive oil on it so it wouldn't spoil. That's how they preserved some of their food. They put a layer of olive oil on it so the oxygen couldn't get to it and it would mold. You want veal? You want thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? How religious can we be, Lord? And that's the Oompa-pa. The pews were full. The giving was in the black. They came to temple weekly. What more do you want? People seem to have forgotten, the theologian says. The people seem to have forgotten, not remembered, their story. And in doing so, they've forgotten their saving God. The people have fallen out of right relationship, righteousness, with God and each other because of lack of mindfulness, care, concern, and memory. They no longer seem to be centered on or in God. Now, people would say, we didn't go to church today because there was 4 inches of snow in American Falls. No, they had 6 inches on Friday night in Idaho Falls, and Marion's here. She said it was okay until she hit exit 40. Then it was like, snow. I said, yeah, we're the promised land. I was up at 6 o'clock this morning. I thought, you know, I didn't do it last night because I knew it'd snow more. So I got up at 6 o'clock this morning, as I do every Sunday. But I usually get ready for church. I thought, I'll spend a half an hour and shovel off the driveway. Because 3 Sundays ago, we had an ice storm. Remember that? Last Thursday, it was the last ice I got off my driveway. I don't mind cold. 18 below is kind of getting down there, though. I don't mind snow at all. 10 feet, 3 feet, whatever. I don't like ice. I'm an old man. I don't do ice well at all. Last Thursday, after 2 weeks, I finally got the ice off my driveway. I had people come to visit me and said, you know, you got ice there. I almost slipped. I thought, oh, no. You know. Whatever the reason is, the people may not be here today. Do they remember? Oh, we had to shovel the driveway, or oh, it was too cold, or oh, we had another thing to do. Don't know what that was, but we had another thing to do. The people of Israel had forgotten the story of God. And so God reminds them of the Exodus and the entering of the promised land after 2 generations, 40 years of wandering the wilderness. 700 years is a long time, but they forgot. Even though they celebrate the Passover every year for 1,300 years before that. The same theologian goes on to say, the prophet Micah pictured God charging Israel with a crime and taking them to court. And yet, they didn't realize how guilty they were. Throughout history, God always remembers the people. And the covenants, promises, that's a fancy theological word, covenants, is promises that God makes with them. And the people have been forgetful time and time again and do not remember their God and all of God's wondrous ways and deeds and all the gifts God has given them. So here God calls the people to do one thing. Remember. Remember me. Not only on Sunday morning, but remember me every day of the week. Remember me in your prayers. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what is God's will? Micah, bless his little pea-picking heart. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. used this in his sermons all the time. On one of his monuments in Washington, D.C., these words are inscribed. Exactly. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. The Lord has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That's it. That's it. Forget the one law that Adam and Eve had, don't eat of that tree. Forget the 10 laws that Moses brought down from Sinai. Forget the 116 or 114 Levitical laws that are found in our Bible. Of how to keep a kosher kitchen and all that kind of thing. You only have to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. We had a great discussion in Sunday school this morning about what is it to do justice? Listen to the news the past 3 or 4 days or the past week. Was justice served? Was justice realized? There's huge arguments across our nation now, from LA to New York City. There are riots and rallies going on, peaceful ones and otherwise, as to what is just. How just are we as a people called the United States? What is it to love kindness? We don't have enough hours in the day to answer that one. And what is it to walk humbly with your God? Well, it's what you are doing right now, whether you know it or not. To be in relationship with God. Not only on Sunday morning, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. To be in relationship with God, not in a righteous way, not in a right way. Because none of us can be all of the Beatitudes. One or two would be great. Pick out which Beatitude you are. Are you meek? Are you humble? Are you a peacemaker? I know children in families, whether they're the middle child or not, who are the peacemakers between not only their siblings, but between mom and dad, too. I could name them on more than two hands and two feet. Who the peacemakers are. Which beatitude are you? It's not something that we aspire to. It's just something you are, a characteristic. Meek, are you mourning? We have people in our community, people in our nation who are mourning the loss of a loved one, whether they were beaten to death or they died of natural causes or died in their sleep. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. It's that simple and it's that complex. It's like a parent and a child. I am like my parents. It's my way or the highway. The door is always locked only from the outside. You can leave anytime you want. But you need to follow my rules in my house. I've even said that to my mom and dad. You know, when they would come visit me, whether it was in Montana, Wyoming, or American Falls, they'd say, my house, my rules. My father would go around turning off all the lights. He was a light guy. Turning off all the lights. There's a commercial about that right now, and it reminds me of Dad Beak. I leave lights on in certain places where I go pretty frequently, like the kitchen or the living room or down the hallway. I don't like living in a dark house. I'm all by myself. There's no kids in the bedroom. There's no wife in the other bedroom or in the kitchen. It's just me. The plants don't turn the lights on and off. But my dad did. Oh, boy. I preached to you back in Advent of how do we fold towels. Yeah. There was a whole big thing about folding towels. Because my mother did it one way, my sister did it another way, I did it another way. We went home that Sunday after that sermon, and we had a tutorial on how to fold towels. And we were all right, because we all use our towels in different ways, whether they're hung on a hook, or hung on a towel rack, or not hung on anything, just laying on the counter. We are to remember that God loves us. We don't have to aspire to all 10 commandments. We break them every week, all 10 of them. Quote me. The 614 Levitical laws, the 9 Beatitudes, which really aren't commandments, they are characteristics of who we are. St. Augustine, or Augustine, potato, potato, St. Augustine said this, quote, love God and do what you please. I love that. Love God and do what you please. If your will is joined to the will or yearning of God, put the yearning in there too, all you ask for can only be blessed. For it will be free and good and true. I love that quote. Love God first and do whatever you please. But if your will is joined to the will and yearning of God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All you ask for can only be blessed. If it's not blessed, then you're not in correspondence with God's will. Okay, that's a hard one for us Christians. Lord, you said anything we pray for in your name, you'll grant. Why hasn't this happened for my family member? Why hasn't this happened for me? Why hasn't this happened for our nation when we pray for this thing to happen? Well, what does God will? That's really the crux of the whole thing. What does God want? And Micah is trying to let his people, even though they're in a revival, even though they have hundreds of people at the temple every Sabbath, on Saturday that is, even though they're in the black for the first time in hundreds of years, with rivers of oil and hundreds of rams, they still don't get it. God doesn't want rams and oil, whether it's dinosaur oil or olive oil. God wants you. As a parent wants the child to love them. As a parent wants a child to love them. God wants you to love God also. What is God's will? Tell me it in coffee hour. We have coffee hour today. I would say, is to do justice, to love kindness and walk humbly with our God. But even more so, I agree with the theologian and said, it is to remember. Amen.